going to read from the 9th chapter of Acts. We are continuing on in these sermon series on conversion stories and how God in Christ through the Spirit reaches in to convert others to faith and belief in Jesus Christ, to understand and know His love. And this is an extraordinary story. It's the story of Saul's conversion. And Saul has been out breathing down the neck of those people who were followers of Christ. He is seeking them out and finding them and locking them away in prisons. As Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So John was an avid golfer, and he came in from the golf course one Saturday, and his wife Mary asked him who he had played with that day. And he said, "Oh, no one in particular." And she said, "Well, why don't you play with Bill anymore?" And John replied, "Well, would you like to play golf with someone who throws his clubs, swears all the time, lies about his scores, moves his ball in the rough, and won't stop talking while you're trying to take a shot?" "Of course not," said Mary. John said, "Well, neither does Bill." We learn that Saul is persecuting the church, and he has a powerful encounter with God. We hear this conversion story, and we shrink. Not many of us were struck by lightning. Not many of us have heard the voice of Jesus. Not many of us have been blind for 3 days. And most probably, none of us will ever be imprisoned for our faith and our belief in Christ. Well, along with Saul, who we know as St. Paul today, we hear about other powerful conversion stories, like St. Francis of Assisi, who was born in the year 1182, and after living a life of privilege, he went off to this random kind of war that was happening in a neighboring city-state, and there he was captured and imprisoned. He got very, very ill, endured a long illness, and a very slow recovery, and then experienced a dramatic conversion. You see, Francis had always been one of these really fastidious persons, and he abhorred the sick and the poor. And one day, while he was out riding, he came upon a leper, and he was compelled to take his cloak off and share it with this leper, impulsively kissing the poor man's ravaged face. And from that moment on, Francis began serving the poor, leaving his privileged lifestyle. One day, he was in a rundown church building, and he heard a voice speak. It said, "Francis, repair my church." And he literally set about rebuilding the building. But through that work, he became spiritually aware that his vocation was really to repair the church by calling it back to the gospel. He went far beyond the literal repairing of the church. So sometimes listening to these conversion stories can be really hard to take because we think to ourselves, well, nothing like that ever really happened to me. But I believe that each and every conversion story needs to be remembered and told. Do you remember what it was like when the Holy Spirit first touched your life? Do you remember being moved by the Spirit to do something unexplainable? This story here about Saul's conversion is recorded actually three times in the book of Acts. Three times. You can read it in chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. Perhaps it's told three times because we can learn a lot from it. Perhaps this morning we'll jog our memory to think a little bit more about our own conversion. So Saul was this devout Jew of Tarsus. He was actually considered a Pharisee. He was a zealous leader. He was a keeper of the law. And he went so far as to roam the countryside to round up Christians and put them in jail to await their death. You have to remember that on this fine day when Saul was in Damascus, that's 100 miles from Jerusalem. He had gone as far as 100 miles to persecute the distractors of the faith. And it was there that Saul was struck down by a flash of light, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now, Saul, as a keeper of the law and a Pharisee, I imagine, might have had an answer for everything, right? I can imagine him saying, "Jesus of Nazareth is dead. Do you expect me to believe that a crucified nobody is the Messiah? According to our law, anybody who is hung on a tree is cursed. Would God take a cursed false prophet and make him the Messiah? No, his followers are preaching that Jesus is alive and doing miracles through them, but their power comes from Satan, not God. This is a dangerous sect, and I intend to eliminate it before it destroys our historic Jewish faith." But all the boldness of Saul is gone at the moment that Saul hears his name called. Saul hears his name. Saul asked who it was. He said, "Who is it that's speaking to me?" And he heard, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Here was this man of faith. He was confident, right? He was a very faithful person. He knew it all. He practiced the law. Acts 22 version of this story adds this. It says, "I studied under Gamaliel, and I was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors." Saul was confident that he knew it all until the day he found himself face to face with the truth. The truth of the risen Christ. Imagine it. Winston Churchill made this statement that said, "There," about those who were kind of the tyrants of the faith, he would say, "There, but by the grace of God, goes God." That kind of person is who Saul was. But you know, we're not so unlike Saul. We live in a culture that regularly confuses humanity with deity. We do this any time we think that it's up to us, and we rely on ourselves and our own discernment, our own judgment, our own power, rather than trusting in God. I marvel at how difficult it is even for Christians to take a step in faith. You know, faith means acting on something we believe in without knowing the outcome. How many of us do that on a regular basis? We measure our steps and do what we think we can do. But how many of us do what we aren't sure we can do? Most of the time, I think we are like Saul, standing firm on our convictions, on the things that we know, rather than acting on faith and moving toward the unknown. You see, sharing the gospel requires faith. So quite unpredictably, Saul is there, blinded by this light. He's been struck down. He's been left in darkness on this road to Damascus. You see, it was the light of Christ that uncovered Saul and left him in darkness. God searched out and found Saul. Kind of like, you know the story of the shepherd that leaves the 100 to find the lost, leaves the 99 to find the lost, right? This is the kind of God who searched out and found Saul. That's the first of the three essential parts of this conversion story, at least the three things that I think are essential. The first essential part of a conversion story is that God finds us. God found Saul, and Jesus identified himself to Saul, and Jesus spoke Saul's name. First part of a conversion story. The second part of a conversion story is there's this period of waiting, this period of blindness for Paul. Can you imagine going 3 days without being able to see? 3 days where all of a sudden you didn't know where you were? 3 days of darkness? Can you imagine the fear that must have crept in? The internal struggle about who he was and what he had been doing? What he had been mistaking as a life of faithfulness? Does that remind you of any other stories in Scripture? Like the story of Jacob who struggled in the night? This struggle, this darkness, this time in which a relationship with God is established. Sometimes that's called the dark night of the soul. But remember, Jacob walks away with a new name, just as Saul later becomes known as Paul. You know, we don't like being left in the darkness. Most of us have not been left or struck literally blind. But I think if we think about it, There have been times in our lives when each of us has been figuratively blind, unable to see God at work in our world. The third essential part of a conversion story comes from these scriptures that I will read to you again. Ananias comes upon the scene, and the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard so many bad things about this man, all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. You want me to go to him?" But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, their kings, and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." God uses the faithful actions of another person for the sake of Saul's conversion. William Sloan Coffin, who is a contemporary preacher, actually I think he passed away in the last year, but he says a lot about the gospel. And one of the things that he says about the gospel is this. He said, "The gospel is part fairy tale, that it takes the love of one to transform the beast. Our conversion, our encounter with God, is never a private matter. It always brings us into relationship with others. Someone else also always gives us a piece of the puzzle so that we can understand who Jesus Christ is." And the scriptures continue. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may again see and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Bishop William Willimon reminds us that hands have been laid on us in baptism, that the Holy Spirit is conferred when we lay hands on others. We do this in confirmation. We do this in healing. Ordination happens by laying hands on and conferring the Holy Spirit. Touch is a part of conversion. St. Paul, in his teachings to the Corinthian church later in his ministry, reminds the Corinthian church that all believers are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the text says here that after Ananias laid hands on him, Saul was baptized, and then he took some food. I wonder if that food could have been the Lord's Supper, that he participated and partook of the holy meal to nurture, restore him as he regained his strength. So I said there are three essential elements in this conversion story. First of all, God finds us. Second, there is a period of waiting, perhaps a time of darkness. And third, it takes another's faithfulness to assure us of our conversion, to work in that conversion of our spirits. But really what I want to say that instead of three elements in this story, there are four. And the fourth element is the most important. All conversion stories happen through the sheer grace of God. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And here in this ninth chapter in Acts, even the enemy of the church was converted. Even the enemy of the church was converted. And because of Jesus Christ, those who were once enemies are now turned into brothers. In the third witness in Acts, in chapter 26, where this conversion is told once again, it says this. It says that the Lord said to Saul, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Wesley Church, we can be sure that as we move into the future, we will change. As we make room for the Holy Spirit to work here, we will be transformed. No one who has come into contact with Jesus Christ remains the same. There is no such thing as a private life with God. No such thing as a person or even a congregation that can follow Jesus without sharing his love. God might just use us like God used Ananias to offer mercy to those who are lost, to those who we consider enemies of the church. The Holy Spirit works to reform and transform sinners, to reform and transform our world. The good news for us today is that God's love is so far-reaching and so everlasting that God will search us out and find us even in the darkest of places. We cannot hide from God. And once we've encountered Jesus Christ, we cannot escape him either. The good news for us today is that God's hope is for those who have lost their way. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who seeks us out and finds us even when we are bound in sin, even when we are mistaking our faithfulness for something else. We ask that that Holy Spirit come down and lay hands on us again, that we might be those who are reformed and transformed through the power of Jesus Christ. May we be those like Ananias who go to those who are our enemies, and may we be reconciled to them to call them our brothers. May we be those who share in the life of Jesus Christ in this community and in our world. Amen.